Uthman radiallahu an then narrates and he says, Wallah, this person got so drunk that he continued asking for wine to such an extent that he committed zina, and on top of that he killed the child. So this is what is meant by this, by it being the mother of all sins. Also the hadith, kullu muskirin haram, every form of intoxicant is haram. Today our youth have the answer for everything. You know, you tell them one thing, they'll tell you two things. When it was asked to them that doesn't Islam forbid drugs, they say no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only forbids alcohol, so drugs is halal. It's jais. Mufti Shafi Saab in his Ma'rif al-Quran under the tafsir of Qul Fihima Ithmun Kabir, it is a grave sin. He makes mention and he says that this wine and khamr is such that is the preliminary to every sin. And solely because or based on the fact that this wine removes a person's reason from his mind. When a person is intoxicated, the faculty of reason is taken away. That's why you will find a person who is drunk, he sways this way and he sways that way. He doesn't know what he's talking. His speech is slurred. So you won't understand him. Why? Because he himself is in such a state, and on top of that, for him to reason, he won't be able to do it. In the same manner, my respected elders and brothers, every intoxicant, every single thing, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, khamar was such a thing that used to intoxicate people. In fact, it is mentioned in some kitabs that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden khamar or wine at that time was because of a person who went to read salah. And in his salah, because he was intoxicated and he couldn't understand what he was saying, he started reading Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Now we all know the surah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun, wa la antum a'biduna ma a'bud, wa la ana a'bidun ma abadtum, wa la antum a'biduna ma a'bud, lakum deenukum waliyadeen. The translation of which is, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, say to the disbelievers, la a'budu ma ta'budun, I will not worship what you worship, wa la antum a'biduna ma a'bud, nor will you worship what I worship. I have my Lord, you have your Lord. I have my deen, you have your deen. So this person, because he was intoxicated, he went and read salah. And he started reading Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, but all the la's he took out. And he started reading Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, a'budu ma ta'budun, antum a'biduna ma a'bud, ana a'bidun ma abadtum, till the end of the ayat. Which translates as Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Imagine standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading salah, and ibadat only for Allah. He stands up and he says, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, a'budu ma ta'budun, I worship what you worship. Antum abiduna ma abud, you worship what I worship. Your deen is my deen. Immediately the command came down that now khamar is completely haram. So in that time, my respected elders and brothers, it was a need for khamar to be haram. But make no mistake of it, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here today, definitely a hadith would have definitely come out based on drugs and intoxicants. So any form of intoxicant is completely haram. It is not jais. So there's no excuse to say Quran only says that of wine and khamar and alcohol. No. Any form based on the hadith, kullu muskirin haram, any form of any intoxicant is such a thing that it will become haram. And this is one of the greatest weapons of shaitan today. In fact, some statistics for you. Over 80 billion rands a year is spent on drugs. More than 60% of crimes that are happening in South Africa are related to intoxicants and drugs. Today, our own children are involved in all of this. Once I had the opportunity of going for Jamaat and I went to a rehab center. And most of the boys that were there, or the brothers that were there, were drug addicts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them hidayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such they really, really tried and keep them safe from all these evils. So one brother told me, you know, Monana, I used to sell drugs in the club. And I'm not lying to you that the biggest buyers are the Muslims. On a weeknight, I would make at least 4,000 rand profit for myself, let alone what I have to give the drug lords. On a weekend, I would make 4 or 5 times that amount. How many instances, my respected elders and brothers, the daughter will come back home intoxicated, drugged up, lying in front by the veranda. The father will open the door. Next minute he's running by, Molana, Molana, I need a taweez for my child. Something's wrong. My respected elders and brothers, we as parents are the ones that have given the opportunity or the freedom to our children and have made it such that anything they want, we give it to them. Whatever form it may be. We all know that things that are drug related are always linked to shaitan. The clubs, they sell this. Another brother told me, Mulana, once in the club there's a thing called a chill room. After you get drugged up or after you get tired of dancing, then you go and sit over there. He says there was a person, there was a girl who was also intoxicated, drugged up. She was on the high and she lay in this room. And then all of a sudden there was another boy that came in and he raped her and he walked out. She didn't know anything. So my respected elders and brothers, we have to be careful. Every single thing, even on this night too. It's a Saturday night. How many of our children are sitting in the masjid listening to this bayan? How many of us know where our children are right now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. You know that myth that, you know, I belong to certain family. Our surnames are this and that. That Mulana is related to me. That myth that we have that it can never happen to my family. It's impossible. We must forget that, my respected Alis and brothers. For just like how deen never choose anyone. It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It went to every house. In the same manner, sin also looks for any person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. The last person, wala ila aqi walidain. That person who disobeys his parents. Fine, fair enough. Maybe our mothers and fathers don't know how to use a cell phone. If it rings, they'll quickly give it to you. They won't know what's an MMS, they won't know what's Bluetooth, they won't even know what's infrared. In fact, they'll get surprised if the phone has infrared and camera and voice recorder. They won't know how to send a text message, they won't even know how to look up the directory on our phone. They won't know what's the latest car, the 16-inch, the 18-inch tire. They won't know the latest sound, the latest speaker, the latest actor, actress, sportsman, sportswoman. And then what we say? Old man, what you know? Oh, you know the term, the bali. What he knows? My respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that after his ibadat, after you worship him in oneness, in totality, immediately after that, it is incumbent upon every child, every person to obey his parent. So whether you have children or whether you yourself have your parents alive. You know, when I gave this talk to the children at the school, I challenged them. I'm going to make the same challenge now. I challenge any brother, any sister, okay, not the sisters, any child to take a 2.5 kg sugar, strap it around your waist and walk around for 9 months. Walk up the stairs, carry parcels, go from this place to that place. Leave alone the sicknesses that a mother endures during the pregnancy. Sometimes the sicknesses are such that no medicine they can take because fear of hurting the child. They'll battle out the sickness. Or if that woman gives birth to twins, strap a 5 kg on your stomach. And for 9 months, and after that come back and tell me, Mawlana, it's the best thing I ever did. That's why the hadith mentions that a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I took my mother for Hajj. I walked through the entire Arabian desert barefooted. I carried her on my back. I went Safa, Marwa. I made so many tawafs. I put her on my back and I went all around. I did all the rituals of Hajj. O Nabi of Allah, tell me, have I fulfilled the right of my mother? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says, you have not even fulfilled that one ah she said when she was giving birth to you. But today, we are the ones. In fact, the ayat of the Quran, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not even say the word uff. In the riwayat of Mustadraf, فِي كُلِ فَنِ Mustadraf, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu narrates and he says that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had found of the word more derogatory than uff, definitely he would have made it haram. Imagine telling your mother, uff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it haram. Imagine the vulgarity that we use today on our own parents. You know the incident of that child who, when he was growing up, he was thought or he was told that he and his father met in an accident and he lost his father. That's all he was told. And every day his mother used to take him to school, but he never used to like his mother, because firstly, there was no income in the house. So his mother used to go to the dump yard, pick up food from there, see if it's okay and sell it. And to make matters worse, the mother herself had a patch on her eye. So every day he used to come to school, he used to tell his mother, drop me off by the gate and I'll go to the class. All the other mothers would take their children to the class, hug their parents, hug the child, or the child would hug the mother and go away, but he was too ashamed to do that. And every year, he would say that you are looking more and more uglier. Don't come near me. When the friends would come home, if they would ask, this is your mother, he would say, no, this is our slave, our maid. And he would laugh and he would make fun at her. My mother is like this and my mother is like that. She looks like a pirate with the one eye. Eventually, he decided that people are going to laugh at him. He studied, he became someone, and eventually he left the town, forgetting his mother, not even worrying about her, not even caring about her. And he goes to this another country and he stays there, he gets married, he has children, he completely forgets about his mother. And then one day there's a knock on the door. When he answers it, he sees the same woman, this old woman, that's his mother. The children get so frightened because of the eye patch, they run away. He himself, because of his children getting hurt, he shouts at her. He says, I don't know who you are. Leave this place. And this old lady says, I'm sorry, perhaps maybe I have the wrong number.